Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news.
This is Ben Sargent, your pilot for the hunt for Dr. Claw, hanging out with Dean on WGN.
720 WGN, Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, online calling us from New York City at the present time. But of course, you know him traveling all over the Eastern Seaboard for sure. And of course, across the country, you remember him from that great show. Absolutely love that show, Hook, Line, and Dinner from the Cooking Channel. Well, he is coming back and going to take back the underground. Remember the Dr. Claw days, and of course, all the things that he was doing with the lobster rolls. Or was it him? Who knows? Either way, it's the one and only Ben Sargent. Ben, welcome to WGN.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So this is exciting stuff. Good to have you back in the game. I know you had so many fans probably asking, geez, what are you going to do? When are you going to do it? And you thought to yourself, you know what, you want to pick the right project, right, and find the right time, and this is it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I obviously loved my Food Network Cooking Channel days, but the thing that people didn't realize that probably landed me in that position was this underground lobster establishment that I had that actually got shut down by the city of New York because it was an unlicensed establishment. And there was a questionable character by the name of Dr. Claw, and no one to this day knows for sure whether or not I was Dr. Claw or had, you know, what my affiliation to Dr. Claw was. And so I've just been looking for almost for 2 years for a fun, creative way to bring that back, but to keep these sort of underground roots alive.
You know what? Think about this. And of course, you know, the identity of Dr. Claw is just a mystery. It's going to stay that way. But, you know, but you at least have had a conduit to him. You've been able to, whether through, you know, super spy channels, be able to communicate at points throughout history. But hey, don't you think in this world, you know, where there's enough crime out there that we've got other things to do, better things to do than shut down delicious lobster roll sales?
It was unbelievable, the time and energy that went in shutting down this lobster rolling thug was like, it was unreal. It was a four-page notice signed by the, what is it, director of the health department, basically, saying that, you know, how many laws that I had broken. And I was thinking, you know, this is probably the cleanest, most well-taken-care of product because that's all I had. You know, it wasn't like I was doing, you know, 1,000 other dishes. You know, Dr. Claw and I had one product, and that was lobster. So we took great care of it. At one point, I looked in my basement apartment, and I realized I had $30,000 worth of lobster in my four refrigerators. And that's when I realized, oh, man, I actually am really dealing lobster. It's crazy.
Well, the lobsters, of course, you had $30,000. But the street value is much higher. And, of course, we can all remember back then. I remember the press conference where the Dr. Claw task force, you know, came and announced when they'd finally shut it down. And they were very proud of themselves.
So proud of themselves. It was crazy. It was crazy. And so, really, for that, you know, since that day, Dr. Claw has been MIA, and I get, you know, people asking me all the time, like, oh, why don't you open up a brick and mortar? I was like, what? Brick and mortar? I can't do a restaurant. I'm like, Dr. Claw represented the underground and everything that made it fun to go on this food adventure. You know, and it wasn't easy to find, and it was sort of word of mouth, and you had to know somebody, you had to know the location. There was no address. It was crazy.
You had to be like, vouched for by El Chapo.
Oh, yeah. And we would ask you, like, what your favorite aquatic bird was. And if you got the answer wrong, you were out of the club. Like, it was pretty hardcore.
People loved it. But see, the thing is, so that's wonderful right there. The, you know, lobster rolls, that's awesome. Lobster in general is pretty much one of the best foods out there. But what people loved is they loved those adventures. They loved having you out on the road, interacting with other people, and kind of showing, you know, your adventures. And I guess you're going to be doing that with this new project.
Yeah. So the interesting thing is basically, you know, Kickstarter has all these great new platforms. And what we're trying to do, I don't think we've invented anything new necessarily, but the concept is new. We're using the technology of Periscope and then our own app, which is the Dr. Claw app. And it's really just like those choose your own adventure books when you're a kid, where you got to determine like the fate of the main character. So each chapter could end a different way depending on how you kind of told the main character you wanted to go. And so this is that, but the live version. So I'll be broadcasting with a GoPro camera live from my lobster bike. It's a CT110 that's dressed up to look exactly like a lobster on wheels.
Oh, that's awesome.
And while I'm hunting for Dr. Claw, I'll be giving you this live broadcast and asking you for basically for help. And so like every turn in the road, I'll be like, do you think I should go down this, you know, wooded path, or should we, you know, hug the coast, or, you know, does this character that we just met, this salty fisherman, does he seem sketchy or believable? And my job as like, you know, putting this all together is to tie in those real people, those real personalities that we meet along the way with the narrative, with the storyline. So it's crazy. It's a huge undertaking.
Also, there's an element of danger. You know, you've got that adventure side too, but you have to be careful because, you know, let's say the fans and the people participating tell you to go into that, you know, teen summer camp with the chainsaw and the screaming. You know, I mean, your instincts are there, but the people, you know, they've spoken.
That's right. And I always said too, I was like, you know, not only could my friends and fans and whatever mislead me and want to see me drive off the edge of a cliff, but you know, just operating a 400-pound lobster, you know, between your legs is scary enough. and then you're broadcasting live, so your attention's not totally on the road. You're actually talking to your people there. It's crazy.
I hope the task force isn't listening, because you've already named off a number of different potential violations that could be taking place. But I think it's, if we think about it as this just fun, is this fun, super fun project that people can watch that you'll have a blast doing as well. And then think of it's sort of just superhero text, because most superheroes, especially culinary superheroes, you know, you always have to have the vehicle, you know, you get Batmobile, so you've got the lobster bike. Now, do you have a specific, you'll have a utility belt, I'm sure, like clock crackers and things like that.
But do you have a
costume and a cape, you know, any kind of special?
Not a costume so much. I mean, the lobster bike in itself is the costume, and I'm just Ben on the lobster bike. And then there's Dr. Claw that will chime in with these sort of video updates broadcasted from wherever he is, this undisclosed location.
Right.
And that's the way you get the clues to the secret seafood events that happen all along the way. Kind of like the first ever, I believe it's sort of like the first ever pop-up underground restaurant, but that's been mobile or on the road. You know what I mean?
With its own kind of like show, its own media entity built into it.
Yeah, wow. It's like a rave with food, but like hopefully no like beaded. Well, maybe there will be beaded dancers. I don't know. And glow sticks. Maybe there will be.
If the people ask for the beaded dancing glow sticks,
exactly.
Let them exist. Okay, so talk about. I know the Kickstarter is launching. I know that people can participate. So let people know what they can do, what they need to do in order to get in on all this fun.
Yeah, so the Hunt for Dr. Claw is the name of the Kickstarter. It's live now. We basically are asking for any contribution that will, you know, if you get in on the entry-level contribution, you get the food, like you're in the club. But then, you know, going up and up and up and up, you can basically decide how much involvement you want to have in the show itself. So if you actually want to appear as a character along the way, you have that ability in this Kickstarter.
Wow. Oh, that's cool. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That is awesome. So give the website out one more time. Give some of the timelines as far as when you're going to be starting it, and then and maybe some insight into some of the places you're going to be. Any chance you're going to be riding through the Chicago area?
Yeah, so part of it, the first idea was basically no direction, no map, no nothing. Just head the bike south, you know, sort of in the direction loosely of Florida, and then sort of continue along the coast. And, you know, whether or not that ends me up, as I always said, at the tip of Argentina, or, you know, as lame as, I don't know, Long Island, is yet to be determined. That's going to depend on how the bike runs, how crazy the idea is, how, you know, how much people love it or hate it. But my idea was always to ride this lobster around the world. So there's no stopping it.
Well, you know what? I think of you as kind of a seafood superhero. And, you know, in a lot of these situations, there's going to be challenges. You know, some are going to be just environmental. You know, hey, it's raining. Hey, it's whatever. I'm broke. Yeah. The bike broke down. Who knows? Yeah. But you never know. A lot of times these kind of superhero situations attract maybe like a culinary villain of some kind. And they're exactly. Other than the task force.
Well, and that's it. You don't know whether Dr. Dr. Claw has my best interest at heart or whether he's going to be messing with me. And it's sort of like he's sort of big brother and he's watching me try and find him through the entire adventure. So you have to, as the viewers, you have to make that call. So each one of his clues could be misleading or it could put us on, you know, amazingly good seafood.
Kind of like Rex Racer, like Speed Racer's older brother that, you know, yeah. He was there kind of just watching, kind of manipulating
That's
things.
Right. It's a little bit of Inspector Gadget meets Big Brother meets, it's everything in one.
Oh, well, it sounds like a blast. And, you know, there's going to be some great visuals, some great adventures, and also some incredible food built into the situation as well. So one more time, the websites where they can catch up with you and certainly the Kickstarter campaign where they can get involved.
Yeah, just go to The Hunt for Dr. Claw on Kickstarter, and it's all there.
The Hunt for Dr. Claw on Kickstarter. Dr. Claw, of course, the mysterious figure in Ben Sargent. It's super interesting, less mysterious, but an awesome guy. Definitely catch up with him and keep up with all his adventures. Ben, thanks so much for what you do. I wish you good luck on the road. And thanks for being in WGN today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
720 WGN, Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase studio, honored to have on a beautiful summer day here in Chicago as she travels the country on a tour for her latest book. And a groundbreaking, pioneering television personality, award-winning author, chef, and a person who has been kind of our guide to the food world on television and, of course, in print for so many years, the one and only Chef Sarah Moulton. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Dane.
So what brings you here? I mean, you're traveling, and you could be in other places. There's Topeka, Kansas, probably down the road, maybe across.
No, Chicago would be, I think, a little before Topeka, Kansas.
Oh, they go in order of importance? Awesome.
Well, yeah. Well, although, no, don't get me wrong. I'm not a snob that way. And actually, I'm on book tour with this wonderful little cookware company called Chantal. And where they take me are all these tiny little, not tiny, but not the big cities. So to find myself in Chicago is unusual.
Well, it's great to have you here. And when, of course, we sat in the lobby, you're like, oh, this is great. Excited to be able to do it. And we're just honored and excited to have you. And you got to think about it. Sure, big cities, a lot of people. But when you do what you've done, whether it's Good Morning America or with Julia Child, of course, all the stuff on the Food Network, you've got to figure that most everybody would be excited to see you. Everybody knows who you are.
Well, you know, I'm not the hottest thing since sliced bread, you know, when I was for the 10 years on the Food Network. So it doesn't always translate. But, you know, new people are beginning to watch my public television show and Create, which is this second network that takes all the PBS shows and then puts them up after they've aired the first time, is really helping us all to get the shows out more than they do.
It is great to have some of the advantages we have, either with YouTube or some of those things. You say sliced bread. I just watched earlier today a segment that you did with someone that I talked to yesterday, Rachel Ray, and you were talking about refreshing bread that was stale, putting it into the oven, getting it wet, soaking it. It's those kind of things, those kind of life hacks and ways to make some kitchen magic. Is that the stuff that's in Home Cooking 101?
Yeah, among other things. I mean, there's really nerdy stuff like that. But then there's also, you know, the first chapter is all about the things that I think are most important, like get to know your stove, because gas does not perform like electric, does not perform like, induction. How to balance flavors if something's too sweet, salty, sour, hot. How to build umami. How to use salt, you know, which is hands down the most important thing. So I go through all that kind of stuff, you know, that basic stuff. And then there's a lot of little fun things along the way.
A lot of cool stuff in the world of food, and I'm sure some valuable information all across the board. And in studio, we also have Beth Peterson, world recipe champion, Master Chef alum, and of course, one of the founders of the Yummy Nation. And so, Beth, you actually got a chance. Yeah. You had the pleasure, the honor of running into Sarah before as well.
Spent a little bit of time together. We went to Duck University for Maple Leaf Farms. Duck.
It's so nice to say Duck University. You should say Duck U.
Duck U.
It gets everybody's attention.
I was trying to be polite.
Guys,
but
it's a family show. So.
That was our handle on Twitter. It was Duck U.
Yeah, it was.
It was kind of fun.
It was really fun. We even got to eat. We were talking about a duck food, what they eat. And this is Amish country. This is a wonderful company called Maple Leaf Farms.
Yeah.
Duck. And, you know, I think we really both enjoyed.
It was great.
Yeah, felt good about
the ducks.
There
were food writers from all around the country that came out to learn about the farm, and I was scared. I was telling Sarah, I was really kind of a little bit afraid to see like what behind the scenes of a duck farm looked like. And it was pretty good.
Yeah.
It wasn't so bad.
No, it wasn't bad.
And of course, we got fabulous duck meals at the end of the night. And Sarah went through and she did demos for us all day and taught us all about how to cook duck. And yeah, so it was an awesome experience.
Duck has become, you know, one of those really hot things, you know, as far as the food scene goes. And Sarah, I wanted to ask you just the time that you've been, certainly there are some classics, there are some things, some staples, some mainstays, but what are your thoughts as the next thing becomes the hot this or the hot that, or, you know, or like small plates, you know, whatever kind of trend it is.
Ooh, I love this.
Comes in and out of out of fashion.
I'm not always good at this stuff because I've had my head in the sand for 2 years doing this cookbook, but I think it always has to do with unfortunately, what countries we're doing war with or we're concerned about. So Korean food is very big. It has been. It's been growing. Middle Eastern food is huge. You know, I think we're going to continue to see more of that. And Mediterranean in general, you know, the whole Ottolenghi thing.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
And all the spices. And you know what's so much fun? When I started cooking, which was, of course, when I was just 12, graduated from cooking school in 1977, you could not find what you can find now. You know, when I first worked at Gourmet Magazine in the mid-'80s, and we had a recipe that called for sesame oil, and I mean the dark stuff, we would say, available at specialty food shops. Yeah. You know, now it's in your supermarket. Right. We've got so many more toys to play with. It's wonderful.
Yeah, you wonder, and that's excellent to get your thoughts on that, too, just as the landscape has changed. Certainly, there's more awareness about a lot of different things, but also for cooks, right?
Yeah.
They're not only just enjoying the cuisine out at restaurants that maybe they didn't have in the past, but now, yeah, they're trying to make the stuff as well.
Right, and then you go to farmers markets or elsewhere, and you're going to find all sorts of produce you didn't know about before as we become more and more of an international country. So, you know, you suddenly have to figure out what to do with these weird vegetables. And they're not weird. They're normal to somebody
else.
Because
there's a category. And it's like, that's in the weird section.
Yeah, right.
Well, when it comes to the television, of course, they can find all the different places at sarahmoulton.com where they can see the program. But if in lieu of that, always you can have by your side the book, right? Let's talk a little bit about the book.
Yes. It's Home Cooking 101. The subtitle is How to Make Everything Taste Better. The subtitle could have been It's All in the Details. But I thought How to Make Everything Taste Better would grab people more. And it's very, very personal. It's about my almost 40 years in the industry. I started when I was 12. not. But at any rate. So I start out with all the most important things you need to know about cooking. And then I move on to all these recipes. There's 150 recipes, and they're almost all entrees. There's a side dish on a chapter on side dishes and a chapter on desserts. And I have 12 guest chefs. I'm trying to think if I have any. Oh, yeah, I have Rick Bayless making tacos, of course.
All right.
He's so typecast.
I know. Well, but he chooses to be.
I know.
I mean, on the other hand, sometimes people say, he's not Latin. Why is he doing this? But, boy, has he studied it.
Yes.
He knows what he's talking about.
And it would be weird if he just came in and made a burger or something like that.
Yeah,
that
would be wrong.
It would be wrong. No, I think the taco is the best.
He's such a lovely individual. But at any rate, I have 12 guest chefs with, experience that I don't have. And then lots of how-tos, you know, and it's very, very quirky. My way to peel and devein shrimp, my way to butterfly a pork line, my way to separate eggs, a lot of things like that, and then more complicated things as well.
I'm excited for this.
But I think it's a good book for college students and newlyweds.
But even like someone like me who's been cooking forever, you know, sometimes I'm just like, I know I can do this better. I know that this, whatever I'm doing right here, how I'm like dicing this avocado is wrong.
Well, actually, it is wrong. It is wrong. That's one of the things I cover.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I worked with the California Avocado Board, and the way that we all open up, you know, cut up avocados has sent a lot of people to the emergency room. So they showed me a different way to do it.
Okay.
And that's in the book.
See?
Yeah. But then I in the beginning I have all about flavor and how to balance flavors and how to use salt, which is hands down the most important thing in cooking.
That's great.
And how to build umami and use your senses and not waste food and organize yourself and get a sharp knife, and it should be a 10-inch knife and all those sort of
things. These are things people really, they just need someone to say, Yeah. This is really the best way to do this.
Well, it's
instead
it's
of
the
having
best,
to yeah. kind of figure it out.
Well,
know?
It's I say so. You know, it's like you have to trust me. And
oh, it's great, and it's an honor, obviously, to have you here with us as well. Of course, the book is Home Cooking 101, and it'll be available at great bookstores ever. I'm sure on Amazon.com.
It is,
and maybe available on at SarahMoulton.com too.
No, isn't that dumb?
Well, I'm just
you just thought made me think of something, but no, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, all the usual places. But yeah. And I'm very proud of it. I think it's my best book.
Well, I'm sure the people will be proud to have it and to be able to make things from it and kind of share that with their friends and family as well. Sarah, continued success and good luck in your travels. And thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Dane.